Find It, Fix It and Leave It Alone, Adjusting the Abnormal to the Normal podcast. Hello, I'm Robert Cartwright, Vice Chairman of the Institute of Classical Osteopathy. We're a postgraduate educational organisation who runs courses to help graduate osteopaths gain a deeper insight into osteopathy, making their career choice more interesting and fulfilling, and in doing so, assist them in helping their patients more. We have a website where you can see the courses and conferences we run. We also regularly run webinars, have a popular YouTube channel and sell a number of books. For more information, please go to www.classical-osteopathy.org. While I was helping a friend and colleague with proofreading a new book recently, the question of find it, fix it and leave it alone came up. Of course, everyone says it's from Still. I have this picture in my head of A.T. Still in the Lord Kitchener pose, but rather than saying, your country needs you, which was an advert to encourage young men to sign up for the First World War effort, A.T. Still would be saying, find it, fix it and leave it alone. Perhaps someone has created that meme and it has been absorbed into the miscellaneous junk file in my brain that appears to be expanding. But in Still's books, nowhere does he say, find it, fix it and leave it alone. So I thought this is worth delving into, but rather than doing lots of reading myself, which would take me forever, I thought I'd ask my friend, that man at Kirksville Museum of Osteopathic Medicine, Jason Haxton. So I ping him over an email, and within a couple of hours I get sent back a whole list of references. He's amazing. Thank you, Jason. And guess what? In all the references from the books written by Still, he doesn't say, find it, fix it and leave it alone. He discusses being able to understand what is abnormal and normal, but no, find it, fix it and leave it alone. So many of the American School of Osteopathy graduates who were taught directly by Still would say he would regularly quote this as his slogan. And even though it was never in one of his books, I'm sure it must have been used as a soundbite or a catchphrase. But I think we've lost our understanding of the quote and have interpreted it incorrectly, quite likely because it's been shortened. To elaborate, we're told that Still used to say, find it, fix it and leave it alone. This doesn't make much sense really, as it appears to advocate being able to adjust the abnormal to the normal instantly, which cannot be done and certainly isn't instantaneous. When considered as a process, it makes more sense. It can also make it appear that all Still did was to treat this abnormal area, which isn't what he did most of the time either. Let's look at what Andrew Taylor Still would say to his students rather than in his books. One of his exemplars was H.H. Gravett, who wrote extensively about his time studying and working with Still. He quoted Still as saying, as you advance in your understanding, you will find it is always the deeper structures that are responsible in keeping the parts in lesion when they have once formed. And no amount of massaging of the superficial tissues will adjust a bony lesion. And when there exists an excessive irritability of the nerves that innervate the structures that govern the joints, you must first normalize it. Otherwise, the adjustment will not stay put. Gravett said of Still, I have known him to take weeks and even months to do this, especially when the joints, having the larger range of motion, were involved and his adjustment stayed put when he made them. This gives a better description of Still's approach and the length of time needed for treatment. In many cases, the treatment would involve seeing the patient over a period of months and giving the treatment more than once a week. Gravett also quoted Still as saying, it is important that you find it. It is just as important to know when you have fixed it and to leave it alone. Nature will do the rest. And also, nature does not jump from the abnormal back to the normal. Step by step she retraces herself, and this is why it takes time for the chronic cases to recover. See that your patients understand this. The more they know of osteopathy, the more it appeals to them. And this is what a couple of his other students said of the phrase. Carl McConnell, DO, in page 3 of his article on ventral technique from the Academy of Applied Osteopathy Yearbook, 1951, says, Dr. Still's dictum of find it, fix it and leave it alone is based upon sound physiology as it pertains to self-repair and immunity. Mary Alice Hoover, DO, wrote on page 71 of Some Studies in Osteopathy, after each application of treatment, the necessary time must be given to allow natural reparative processes to take place. Still's rule for treatment, find it, fix it and leave it alone, appropriate to treatment whenever given, is especially applicable here. In my clinical practice, I examine the various parts of people's spines, looking for and finding components of tenderness, asymmetry, changes in range of motion, and the texture changes of an osteopathic lesion or so-called somatic dysfunction, commonly known by an acronym as TART, which are intricately associated with local autonomic activity. I then correlate the lesion or lesions with what I've learned from the patient's history and their general posture when they were standing, their arch and arch-to-arch mechanics, and how that relates to the pelvis and the lower extremities and the shoulder girdle, occiput, and how that pattern is continued into the cranium. All the while, considering how these structure-function relationships will affect the organism, the autonomic and circulatory systems and the cavity pressures, etc. We also discuss what the patient eats and drinks and their environment at home and psychological stresses at work and everything else that's happening in their life. Both Still and Little John did this, and in fact, Little John wrote about it extensively. After my application of technique to the whole structure, generally using what in classical osteopathy is called body adjustment, I would then re-examine the lesion and find components of my TART findings would be better but not gone. So I felt I had found it, partially fixed it, and it was time to leave it alone. Time for nature to do her bit. The lesion would be back at their next visit a week later, although the TART components would be a little less obvious. I would continue with the same route of treatment if the patient was recovering, and each week the components of TART in the lesion complex would get harder and harder to find until I couldn't find them and the patient was usually feeling better in terms of the presenting symptom for which they had decided to see me for. This would often occur over a 4 to 6 visit process, depending very much on the presenting problem, and of course this is smothered with lots of caveats. As a classical osteopath, I generally don't take a head-on assault at these lesions as they are generally secondary and act as an adaptation to maintain some degree of movement but at a cost. Apparently, according to John Wernham, who trained under Little John and practiced osteopathy for 70-odd years and was an absolute master of it, Still used to call the lesion adjusters the all-you-need boys because all they felt they needed to learn was techniques to correct these lesions. Classical osteopathy takes the approach that considers the physiological physics of why the lesion occurred, where they have, and the effects that they may be having on the body economy and the health of the patient via the autonomic nervous system and the change in the setup of the body mechanics. I have come to believe, through my own experience in practice and learning from people with great experience and knowledge, as well as what seems most biologically plausible, that most lesions or somatic dysfunction appear as a result of stress and strain. These stress and strains occur due to gravity, life events, postural strains, and physiological stresses due to lifestyle and the effect of those on structure, as well as trauma, etc. Obviously, this isn't an exhaustive list. Yes, the area of lesion needs addressing, but is a direct assault always the best way? If the lesion is a traumatic one, sometimes it is the best way, but then your choice of technique should be considered regarding the chronicity of the lesion. One of the many interesting clinical observations from Louisa Burns' research was that a new or recent lesion had lots of extravasated fluids around the lesion, and fast forceful corrections attempted to push this fluid through the capillary beds so fast that these membranes would rupture, making the situation worse. Whereas she noted, in small furry animals at least, once the lesion had become chronic, often it was easier to correct the lesion with movements more akin to HVLA type treatments. But these lesions were in her research animals, which were all induced artificially or manually, which would make them more like a traumatically induced lesion in a human, and they were certainly not the postural type that we see more commonly in daily practice. So getting back to the lesion caused by gravitational strain, do I really want to be like an all-you-need boy and attack the lesion head-on? The answer to this, for me, and I expect many osteopaths going through the ongoing developmental process that our fascinating career journey takes us through, if you keep at it long enough and constantly question what you're doing, is no. Don't get me wrong, this is what I did do for a long time after I graduated in 1997. I enjoyed it and it was exciting, those glorious sacroiliac crunches that would occur, and people would sometimes find this miraculous. And as a local osteopath, I was very popular, seeing up to 100 patients a week at one time. It was a bit of soft tissue, maybe some articulation and a couple of thrust techniques, and then next please. But as well as a lot of people getting better, some would get worse, or I would get phone calls from patients the following day with what was often referred to as an adverse reaction. The definition of adverse can be unfavourable or hurtful or misfortunate. Some camps seem to want to blame the patient's physiology for this, and partly that may come from being an undergraduate in a college clinic and the tutor pulls you aside at your next clinic visit to explain that poor old Mrs. Brown that had been in terrible pain the day after her last treatment with you, and then they kindly blame it on her physiology to spare shattering your confidence, but hoping deep down, perhaps, that you would question how you treated her and learn from it. But an adverse reaction is the appropriate reaction to the stimulus you input. Nothing more, nothing less. Of course, patients do some pretty daft things after treatments sometimes, but we're not discussing that. We're discussing find it, fix it, and leave it alone, just in case you've forgotten. So when I correlated my patient findings with find it, fix it, and leave it alone, and it didn't correlate, as when I found it, it was impossible for me to fix it, I had to let nature do this after I'd removed the obstacles to recovery. This was one of the reasons I liked the phrase from Little John, you cannot adjust the abnormal to the normal, which can be interpreted in a number of different ways, such as trying to adjust a lesion with an HVT and expecting all the TART symptoms to disappear immediately is futile. By the way, neither Steele nor Little John use thrusting techniques like this. Or it can be interpreted as treating an area in isolation, which occasionally has its place in a treatment plan, but not commonly. The area which you, as the osteopath, have examined and found to be abnormal, and then attempting to treat to make your abnormal findings go back to normal with the rest of the body. It isn't going to work when the body's configuration is appropriate to the rest of the body as a whole generally. An example of this is finding a sacroiliac joint lesion and attempting to correct it when it was already correct for the setup of the rest of the body, and therefore the correction, for want of a better expression, means it no longer is integrated with the rest of the structure. The principle that the body is a unit has to be respected, and it has to be treated as such to unite the organism, and this is integration. Therefore, adjusting the abnormal to the normal isn't something that can be done by us. We can only guide the structures to a better relationship with gravity, allowing the healing process or Mother Nature to do her work. This makes me wonder if Steele did actually say this. Even though, as an undergraduate, I had read Steele's autobiography, I can say that I wasn't hugely enlightened by how he would treat. But the phrase left me, and many others of my colleagues, with the idea that the genius that Steele was fixing all these impossible diseases in one treatment. Fortunately, for us lesser mortals, this was not the case, and he never advocated it to be. Which was counter to what I saw the meaning of find it and fix it and leave it alone to be. With further study of Steele, I discovered he would treat people over a very long period of time to take them from the abnormal to the normal, or more appropriately stated, take them through a healing process as he slowly removed obstacles to his patient's natural recovery. This was the axiom: start the process of removing natural obstacles and the body's own medicine chest, also known as the neuroendocrine immune system, will do the rest. understanding the inseparable relationships of what's still called form, but what we more commonly refer to as structure and function, and the body as a united organism rather than a mechanistic assemblage of parts like a car. To do this, there has to be a trust in nature, knowing that given the opportunity, the organism will do its best to survive, and the current situation is the body doing the best it can with the resources available in the configuration it's in. Assisting in the recovery process is part of the art of osteopathy, careful removal of stresses allowing this healing process to continue. This is the osteopathic way, removal of one straw at a time from the camel's back and observing the recovery process, then remove the next straw, then the next. So find it, fix it and leave it alone. Is it a good tagline? Well, I guess I'm sat 120 odd years later talking about it, so certainly it's a marketing success. As a guide to what to do per treatment, it is good advice. But it's important to understand that any inference or implication that we fix the patient is wrong. Because it is only part of a longer statement, which was, it is important you find it, fix it, and it is just as important to know when you have fixed it and to leave it alone. Nature will do the rest. In the November 1933 Journal of the American Osteopathic Association, Arthur D. Becker wrote, "Perhaps one of the most graphic, lucid and luminous phrases ever coined by our founder is the much quoted one, find it, fix it and leave it alone." A volume could be written in an effort to elaborate this scintillating statement. I think he was probably right. Thank you for listening to this podcast today. If you'd like any further information about the Institute of Classical Osteopathy, go to our website, which is www.classical-osteopathy.org. Thank you. Bye-bye.